All right. So I was at the NIH about a year and a half ago, and we were at this very vibrant conference that brought together clinicians, basic scientists, engineers, and people within the area of public health. And I was there to accept a research award, and during that session, another award recipient was presenting some of her work in health disparities. For those who aren't familiar with health disparities, this deals with some of the differences that different groups face when they're dealing with health-related issues. And this schematic here shows some of these racial groups and some of the health disparities they face in areas of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, liver disease, and other areas. So this researcher believed that we could overcome some of these health disparities through this idea of relational empowerment. So what they did is they looked at African American patients, 60 years and over. The emphasis with this idea of relationship empowerment was looking at the relationship between physician and patient, as opposed to putting the onus of health disparities on the patient. And they created this web-based intervention where the patient was able to email their physician. They were able to look at some of the results of their tests. And the results of some of these approaches, these relationship empowerment approaches, they led to an increase in the patient understanding of their health problems. It led to improved disease management, which of course is very exciting because this means that their research is moving us forward towards overcoming health disparities. So of course, the next logical question is, how do we take those types of research practices and make them common practice? And coming from an Illinois perspective, I immediately started thinking about NCSA resources. Could they maybe create a mobile app that interfaces with already existing health research portals? But unfortunately, they didn't have our Illinois resources. I thought about researchers who are breaking barriers, like Professor Ruby Mendenhall here at the Urbana University, who are identifying new determinants of health, the social determinants of health, by looking at sociology, looking at genomics, and maybe we could use those types of social sciences to better understand this idea of relationship empowerment. How do we capitalize on that? But again, these researchers didn't have these Illinois resources. So I hope you understand that I'm telling that story, sharing that experience to highlight some of what we are uniquely capable of addressing these types of tough problems. And I believe the strategic framework describes this quite well. Illinois is a powerhouse of discovery, problem solving, innovation, and creative production. And the strength of our system-wide resources, we can start to ask questions like, what is possible? And I think one of those answers lies in the second pillar, which is what's possible is research and scholarship with global impact. So when I think about that idea of research and scholarship with global impact, I look to some of the work that my lab does and how we can leverage some of those opportunities. My research focuses on angiogenesis, which is also known as the process of blood vessel formation. And it's important in several diseases. And the most interesting disease that most folks have heard of is with regards to cancer and tumor growth. So there's some tumors that can't grow larger than about a millimeter or two in diameter unless they're able to recruit their own blood vessels. So as you can imagine, being able to inhibit that process would offer quite a bit of promise towards treating several cancers. My lab has developed systems biology approaches where we take equations that describe these types of systems, and we try to understand that process of blood vessel formation. And of course, with 30,000 equations, we have to be able to use high-powered resources such as those available at the National Centers for Supercomputing Applications. And when I think of this second pillar, I think of some of these guiding principles, building this system-wide culture of collaboration, innovation, and thoughtful risk-taking. And that goes beyond just this idea of resources on any individual campus. And I look to some of the work that we've done towards building collaborations, like this angiogenesis symposium that we held at the University of Illinois Chicago about 2 years ago. Here it brought together researchers in angiogenesis, some of the thought leaders in this area across our system. And I believe that this guiding principle really means that these types of system-wide collaborations, these system-wide approaches towards discussing problems, become our standard of practice. And of course, there's no better example of this idea of high impact work than some of the work that's being done at UIC recently towards curing sickle cell disease. Teams of researchers who are now tackling the significant socio-technical problems of our day and allowing for global impact through that process. So returning to my research, the second guiding principle within this pillar, this idea of tackling significant socio-technical problems, is one that also drives some of the research work that we do in angiogenesis research. So this idea of being able to inhibit tumor vessels, there have been approaches that have been used towards doing this. Avastin is what I'm picturing there. But one of the challenges that we face with these drugs is that some patients respond, some patients do not respond. And one of the approaches that we are now taking to understand that idea of non-responsiveness is understanding the heterogeneity of tumors, understanding the heterogeneity of patients. And my lab has been developing some personalized tools towards identifying biomarkers on patients who might be able to respond to some of these drugs so that we can start to have the impact of treating these patients more effectively. And we're of course using resources at the Beckman Institute, at the Karl Woese Institute of Genomic Biology. But I believe, again, this pillar of research and scholarship with global impact is much greater than our individual resources. It includes asking questions like, what can we do to translate these types of personalized tools if we leverage the world-class healthcare institutions at Chicago, Rockford, Peoria, and of course the new engineering-based medical school in Urbana. It also means forging new research and development pathways through public and private partnerships. And here I show a picture of Enterprise Works with the resources in iStart, where they teach researchers like myself how to commercialize some of our approaches. And what that does is it essentially takes these types of personalized approaches and says, let's figure out how we can take this from bench to bedside. And of course, with the idea of commercializing technology comes the benefits of increasing the economy, increasing the number of jobs. But I think the most high impact, the most high impact goal that we can find from this are the countless lives that are saved when we get the right drugs to the right patients the first time. So another pillar of the research scholarship with global impact is this idea of sustaining scholarship. And by that, I speak to the humanities and arts, where, of course, they are the vital spark within the university. And I mentioned Professor Mendenhall, who's breaking barriers to look at the intersection of sociology, African-American studies, and urban planning. I look to the research of Professor Lleras here at the university, who's doing cutting-edge research in human and community development, which is really moving us towards social justice. I look at the research of Professor Clancy, who has the unique perspective of women's studies and anthropology. And when you merge these, she's been able to help us understand difficult questions that women face in pregnancy. And of course, these types of humanities research, they stand on their own. And with collaboration through the university and through collaboration with the humanities, we can also start to address some of these socio-technical issues. Things like what happens during pregnancy if a woman is facing psychological stress. We can start to understand some of the health outcomes of low-income African-American women in Chicago. So these are some of the questions that our research team has started to address. And I believe that, again, this research pillar, including the humanities, and making sure that it is the vital spark, continues to be the vital spark, will enable us to address these difficult questions. So at this point, I hope you start to see some of these exciting opportunities, at least the way I see them, in this research pillar. The idea of collaboration stretching system-wide. The idea that we're going to start solving some of these, or continue to solve some of these socio-technical problems with the full backing of the system. And this idea of sustaining scholarship and the humanities and arts continuing to shed light on some of our enduring problems and questions of the day. And finally, of course, this ability to translate some of the work that we do towards public and private partnerships. Together, this research and scholarship with global impact offers several possibilities for exciting new opportunities. Thank you.
So I take a minute to reintroduce myself. I'm Sarah Rush. I'm the regional dean from the College of Medicine in Peoria. My roots are, I'm a general internist by training, so I spent much of my career in the practice of primary care medicine, and that sort of colors some of what I'll say today. I also, Peoria is one of the campuses of UIC. It's a regional campus. It's been there for about 45 years now. Very heavily embedded in our community, and our local mission statement is lead collaboration to improve health. So to talk about a healthy future for Illinois and the Midwest, I thought I'd start a little bit by setting the stage, because we all use the word health a little bit differently. And so the World Health Organization calls health a state of complete mental, physical, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. And so when we're talking about this pillar, the healthy future for Illinois, we're not just talking about physical health, but we're talking about health in its broadest perspective. The single strongest predictor of health is actually socioeconomic status. So people with more money tend to live longer. People who have lesser socioeconomic resources have many more health threats over which they have less control. They tend to have less education. They get lower paying jobs. They have more debt, poor childcare, less high quality housing, more difficulty accessing food, less ability to exercise, unreliable transportation, tend to live in violent conditions. So if you really want to improve health, in addition to talking about sickle cell disease and other things, you really have to talk about the economic status of the individuals. And we all know that wealth is not distributed evenly. It's distributed differently based on race and ethnicity, and that divide is increasing. And so if you look at at average life expectancy over time, for whether you're in the richest 10% or the lowest 10%, over time you're actually either not growing as fast if you're a male, but women actually losing ground in terms of their longevity based on wealth. So if we're gonna have a healthy future, health in the broad term, not the broadest term possible, you want to make sure that you're preparing students for fiscally and emotionally rewarding jobs. So students have to be well prepared for a job that's going to help them to have a good income, and they have to be emotionally rewarding as well. It's not all about the money. You have to create and sustain job opportunities. So if we train people for jobs, there have to be jobs available for them to work in, and those jobs have to be of the type that provide our students with emotionally meaningful, adequately compensated roles. We need excellence in healthcare, so it's, you know, this is health, not the broad health, but healthcare, the delivery of direct healthcare as we train people to function in a diverse economy and in diverse settings. They need to develop expertise in healthcare delivery. We need to be doing the research, and we need to measure our outcomes. So it's not just, do we have a pill that works? Is, can the patient afford the pill? Will the patient take the pill? Will they come for their follow-up? If we don't measure it all the way down to the actual outcome at the level of the people in our communities, then we're not being able to show everything that we can do. And then we have to have a commitment to the communities that we serve. So this brings me then to strategic framework pillar 3, healthy future for Illinois and the entire Midwest. So what are the goals there? These are our goals. I'm going to go through these quickly. So the first is to develop and invest in human capital. So this is one of my teachers here in Peoria articulating with enthusiasm to her students what we need to be doing next. And so what we want to do if we're going to invest in human capital is we want our students to be entrepreneurial. That means not just look at what can be done, but to take what can be done and apply it in a way that promotes economic development, develops new jobs. We want to expose our students to the cutting edge of research and scholarship, not just because they need to understand that, but because that critical analysis of data and information is what takes you forward as you make assessments about whether your programs are effective. We want to create a culture that values personal health and well-being. It's not only what you get done at the job, it's also how do you feel? Are you healthy? Physicians particularly actually are prone to stress, and about 450 physicians a year commit suicide. So it's not just about are they doing a good job, but how do they feel about what they're accomplishing? Do they get that sense of success? Are we delivering that for our students and the people who work for us in Illinois? And then we need to collaborate with other universities to encourage degree completion. Not just degree completion, but completion of degrees that are going to enable our students and students across the state to be able to move forward into jobs that are satisfying and provide them with a meaningful wage. So if we're going to be a powerful engine for economic development, you have here, this yellow color is CAT. You'll see it all over the community. This is my home. Peoria is the world headquarters for CAT. You have research, basic science. You have Chicago, our large central city, and then the agricultural areas of Illinois. And all of these things are important to us if we're going to really develop the kind of community and the kind of state that we want that's able to continue to employ our students after they finish their training. So we want to leverage the excellence in education, research, and innovation that the two previous speakers have spoken very articulately about to improve the health of the communities near our universities and the communities we serve across the state. So we need to do this through public-private partnership. These are the resources that we have. We bring our resources, marry them to their resources, and are able to create things that neither of us could create alone. We want to have an innovation network with innovation cities where you pool those resources, whether they be UIC, UIS, UIUC, and the partners, and put those together to create opportunities that couldn't exist alone. Perhaps in communities like Peoria, you know, where we have some of the foundation, but all individuals could partner together. We want to re-engineer the extension. We already have this resource that's located throughout the state. And I confess, before I started on this committee, I always thought that was sort of about farming and 4-H, and it's not at all. They have a huge number of very diverse programs that are available that can be a tremendous tool for all of us to use to leverage and create these changes that we want to do, and they're located in almost every county across the state, and they're active in most of those. And it's not just rural, they're active in urban communities as well. Agriculture and agribusiness is still the root of much that we do. You know, when you drive into Peoria and you're going through these valleys of corn, you know, there's corn on one side, corn on the other, and you know, when you get to corn, you kind of got to look in both directions because you can't see through the corn. You know, and this is important, it's a true asset. And then we want to identify partners who will work with faculty to accelerate the translation and commercialization of ideas. It is outstanding that we can make new discoveries and create new tools, new devices, but we need to be able to apply that in ways that grow our economy so our students also have jobs. So it's taking all these tremendous things that we do and translating them into companies and businesses. Create national models for professional training, affordability, access, and positive outcomes in healthcare. This picture is from UIC. You know, you can tell, what I love about this picture is you can tell that this student or resident is fully engaged with that little girl. You know, you can see it in her face. And we have the ability to train individuals who will be able to do that. We have a remarkable health sciences and healthcare ecosystem spread across the state, with a focus of healthcare delivery in Chicago. We partner to improve quality of life and equity of care. This is part of our mission. We test and implement care delivery models focused on population health and high quality, cost effective care. That's not just words, you know. If you don't change how we deliver care as our healthcare system changes, you won't really have the level of impact that you need to have. We have to focus on doing a better job of healthcare delivery in addition to discovering new treatments and drugs. We have to focus on how do you actually change the system so people get what they need. Patient access to primary, specialty, and acute care services at our Chicago hospital, which has a very large healthcare delivery system and works to care for particularly vulnerable populations. And work for health equity, as Princess already very articulately addressed. improve college readiness through connections with K-12 and community colleges. These pictures are from Peoria. So these are some of my medical students engaged with Students at Quest, which is a charter school, role modeling as only students can, because as Chancellor Emeritus mentioned, they're younger and closer in age than the individuals we're trying to shape students so that they pick healthcare careers and so they realize the breadth of things they can engage in. This is at Manual, one of our inner city high schools, working again with our students to interest them in STEM and STEM careers. And so if we're going to really impact change, we have to do this across not only our existing students, but across other universities, and then build those pipeline programs that are going to bring students into colleges. So this is to enhance access and success for all students in the state. And then finally, civic engagement among students, faculty, staff, residents of Illinois. So the quote on the left is Margaret Mead, and the picture on the right is obviously not Margaret Mead. So, you know, when you think about changing and growing the economy of Illinois, particularly at this particular point in time, it's kind of like, oh, come on. You know, how are you going to do that? How are you really going to get an economy rolling? How are we going to change the way our state functions? How are we going to grow economic development? And isn't this maybe a little big for a university? But really, this quote, which I also like, says, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Okay, so what do we have here? Thoughtful, committed citizens. Tremendous resources. Great opportunities. And indeed, it's the only thing that ever has, all right? So we can do it. And then I put Lincoln up just to remind us of sort of our frame. Who we look at when we think about what we can do as a civic group. So, what are our responsibilities to the communities we serve? Yeah. Can we establish a Lincoln Institute to draw together those with a focus on public policy and how do we create meaningful change? How do we connect the system activities to civic engagement? How do we get our students outside the classroom, not only to their benefit, but to the benefit of the communities that they would engage in through coursework, through service learning, through commitment that it's not, we don't exist in a community, we are part of a community. And then to make the university the go-to source for policy and application on those key issues affecting community health. And I'm going to turn it over to Megan. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who spoke before me. So now that I have a reputation as the non-SUSE professor to uphold, which I didn't know I had, but I did put a cartoon in my slides, which is helpful. So it also helps that I get to introduce the trippiest, most futuristic science fiction portion of the strategic plan. So to me, tomorrow's University Day is more than just sort of giving in or adapting to the demands of a generation of students that are coming in or to a technology and information saturated world. It really is an exercise in collaborative futurism. So to remind us of what futurism is, it was a social and artistic movement that arose in Italy at the beginning of the 20th century. And I think it's an apt analogy for what's gone on in the development of this pillar within the strategic plan, because it was as much an artistic and social exercise as it was a scientific and technological exercise. And so futurism is defined as the concern with events and trends of the future so as to anticipate them, so as to predict them, and to work proactively in that predictive context. And in Italy in the early 20th century, people were sometimes violently rejecting traditional forms so that they could embrace modernity as they defined it at the time or as they anticipated it to be in the future, to embrace advanced technologies, urbanism, and other things that were fundamentally transforming the world as they knew it then. And so to acknowledge some of the elephants in the room that are definitely motivating this pillar, to me, Pillar 4 is most clearly a response to the prevailing sense that we're living in a time of rapid technological, socioeconomic, political, and environmental change. And you've all read the strategic plan. These are the bullets that are represented in that. And each of these is meant to address a concern that motivates our intellectual lives as members of this university system, but also are at the forefront of public thought when it comes to what the role should be of the university in American life and in the life of Illinoisans. So rising student debt, the Illinois budget crisis, global climate change, this pillar is really a response to these crises and these challenges. However, the language of the plan, illustrated in the quote here, which I took directly from it, reminds us that change is constant and that we are effectively choosing creative action over stasis or fear or a desire to maintain the status quo until action is safe. So I think that those things are written into the plan in a very forward-thinking way, that we will always be forced to adapt to these obstacles. And so I'm in the environmental studies department, although my degree is in anthropology, and I teach an introduction to sustainability course in which I use Donella Meadows' book, Thinking in Systems. And so I think systems theory is also something that is written into the fabric of the strategic plan as well. And so for me, Pillar 4 is fundamentally about enhancing our resilience, not only as a university system, but making sure that we're able to optimize the resources that this university brings together so that we can enhance the resilience of our world in the midst of these pressing and accelerating and increasingly unpredictable kinds of changes. And again, I'm thinking of the analogy of global climate change as I say that. So in systems theory, as it's used in environmental studies, resilience is defined not as the capacity to never be negatively impacted by the change that surrounds us, but rather by having the capacity to recover, to adapt, and then hopefully to thrive in the face of constant change. The accelerating pace and unpredictable nature of our current social and political challenges require us to be uniquely creative, constructive, and flexible in our thinking. And so for me, Pillar 4 involves language and building capacities and bringing us together as an intellectual community to discover this resilience within our own system. And also system theory teaches us that good functional resilient systems involve a good hierarchy that allows for the flow of not only in terms of teaching practice, but in terms of actively developing the hardware and the software and the systems that are required to actually run this stuff. And so I look forward not only to teaching more students in more avant-garde ways, but to using these technologies. I have never played Pokemon Go, but I've been almost run over by someone that was, so I feel like that counts. But I fully anticipate using augmented reality in my classes in the near future. And I see it as exciting. And so I know that the digital humanities faculty at UIS, we brought somebody in to talk to us about Google Glass and talked about all of the exciting applications that we could use, not just for collecting Pokemon, but for having somebody do a historic tour of Springfield and have moments when they could read about something that happened here. That relates not only to our city's history, but also helps relate that to our future and our present as well. I've learned in researching for this presentation that on the U of I campus, augmented reality apps are also old news. Apparently, there's a tour that you can take of this campus using an app that shows you historic photos and moments that have passed. So all of these things, the tools that it takes, but also being open to new platforms and extending our reach globally, I think is something that this pillar could empower. I think this pillar also empowers our faculty and students to continue developing in a way that contributes to economic development in Illinois, alternative energy sources, moving away from fossil fuels, and really finding ways to address the root causes of global climate change and other really pressing environmental issues that take precedence in our time. However, it also reminds us that it's our responsibility to teach students in an information saturated go world that the natural world is often beautiful, and that good research takes an unbelievable amount of patience, that technologies and scientific knowledge can take decades, if not centuries, to develop, that your piece of the puzzle may be very small, and that we need to learn to appreciate things that move very, very slowly. And for those of us that are worried that millennials can't sit still for long enough to appreciate slow, contemplative, meditative practice in learning, I have two words for you: Bob Ross. Bob Ross is trending on Netflix now. The art of painting is something that many of us grew up with, at least those of us on the cusp. So there is still a popular cultural reference. A lot of people still love to just sit and listen to someone calmly teach them about painting. Students still love to listen to David Attenborough whisper in a soothing British accent about how long it takes for a sloth to get down the tree to do its business at the end of the day, or the wild world of ants. So there's still plenty of room, even in a fast-paced, technology-saturated world, for slow, patient learning, especially about the natural worlds and the things that cause a sense of wonder in us. I think that in this pillar, the coupling of financial and environmental sustainability also encourages us to think about the fact that we can do more with less, and we need to do more with less when it comes to resource extraction, because there are real limits to growth as we've conceived of it in the past. There are planetary carrying capacities to consider. And that in ensuring our financial resilience and sustainability, we may also, by virtue of doing that, ensure our environmental, long-term environmental resilience and security as well. And this is a photo from the UIC Heritage Garden, a team of students that through collaborative practice have done something that I think is exciting, created a network of gardens across their campus. And these kinds of things that teach students practical skills that interface with the intellectual theories they're getting in the class, to use and design gardens that reflect their cultural traditions and create community. These kinds of things are also low tech and are based in collaborative practice and community engagement, and remind us that we have a human capacity to heal and restore the earth, as well as to damage it as we make these decisions. So I want to end on this note, since I think we're already a little bit over time, that Alvin Toffler, who was the author in 1970 of the book Future Shock, he regarded himself as a futurist. I was reminded of his work recently because he passed away this year. He defined future shock in 1970 as a psychological disturbance or a reaction to the sheer amount of change that's present at any given time. And if there was too much change going on in 1970 for people to feel comfortable, then I would imagine we're in deep trouble now. But luckily, we have much better ways of thinking about the impacts of change and embracing that change. So it says here, it's always easier to talk about change than to make it. So the work that we begin today in the breakout sections is critical. The strategic plan is full of lofty ideals with many exciting possibilities, but the hard work of figuring out how to implement them, how to transform them into actionable goals, is incomplete. And I'm looking forward to working with you all and watching this stage of the process develop. That's it. And I've left my script at my chair, so I'm now just going to float over here. So we now have some individual statements from faculty, staff, and students who have read the framework document and have identified where they feel that their personal role is defined. So I'll now ask those individuals to come forward to read your personal declaration statements.
Stay away from it. Okay, I think I'm going to start things off here. As Chancellor of the University of Illinois at Springfield, I am part of a campus where student-focused teaching and learning, both on-ground and online, is an integral element of our success. I am in the framework. I am the University of Illinois.
As Dean of the College of Pharmacy, I leverage the deep expertise and creativity of our faculty in research and education in order to promote innovation and economic development across the system and for Illinois. I am this framework. I am Illinois.
I not only study as a student, I'm committed to being civically engaged in my community, my state, and my country as a staffer for the U.S. House of Representatives. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
I believe that through collaborative partnerships, we can improve the quality of life and equity of care for the communities we serve across the entire state of Illinois. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
I am a part of an institution that provides opportunities to engage in service learning where I can take skills and techniques learned in the classroom out into the real world to address needs in my community in measurable and impactful ways. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
From the landscape of research.
Excuse me, can you move out away from so that, we can Certainly. See everybody? Thank you.
There you go.
From the landscape of a recent graduate, I see a bold vision, a tangible goals which impact our world domestically and globally. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
I support our commitment to excellence, principle and practice, scholarly inquiry and teaching, building of learning communities, and the evolution of a great public university. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
My primary responsibility is to create a new entrepreneurial business model for UIC, a model that not only ensures long-term financial sustainability, but also safeguards access, affordability, and excellence. I am not Harry Potter. I'm actually in the framework. I am U of I with a C at the end.
Tough act to follow. I will contribute to building a culture of innovation, entrepreneurship, and thoughtful risk-taking throughout the system, recognizing that the key is to identify and manage risk, not eliminate it. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
I am a faculty and a nurse in the College of Nursing. I am committed to creating national models for professional training, affordability, access, and positive outcomes in healthcare. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
Thank you. I come out here. As interim chancellor and dean of the largest college at the Urbana University, and also as parent of a student who's about to be a senior here on this campus, I am committed to finding ways for undergraduates and graduate students to excel in leadership opportunities outside of the classroom. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
I'm the Vice Chancellor for Health Affairs. I'm committed to leveraging our academic and clinical resources and expertise to pursue health equity in Chicago, the state of Illinois, and beyond. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
As a new alumnus of the Urbana-Champaign University, and my intent to remain involved as an active volunteer and one day donor, for the system, I am engaged to be a resource, mentor, and guide for students and advocate for the system at the local, state, and federal levels. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
As the incoming student body president at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, I plan to promote civic engagement by serving as a liaison for the upcoming year between students, faculty, administrators, and legislators. I'm in this framework. I am U of I.
I'm committed to the development of innovative strategies for online and hybrid learning. I am in this framework. I am U of I.
Thank you to each of you, both the initial presentations as well as your individual statements, very compelling, very, very important as we move forward to have the discussion. It's a very powerful way to show our alliance and allegiance and how we're going to work together. It's now a time for us to recess. After a quick break, please pick up your box lunches, but I'm not sure where they are. In room A, behind us. And then go to the breakout room that you've been assigned, and I think each of you have a sheet that indicates where your breakout is. Let's move the reconvening by 10 minutes so that we bring the thumb drives here at 2 o'clock rather than 1:50, and then we will reconvene at about 10 after 2 rather than at 2. So again, thanks everybody for their participation, and now we get down to the real work. Thanks.